Welcome, everyone, to our weekly study group. This is Corinne, and let's pause together and turn within. If you prefer to close your eyes, bringing awareness within and connecting to our willingness. Our willingness to bring everything to spirit, to be used on behalf of our awakening. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Ah, all right. I'm happy to be here. So let's resume where we left off in the Sparkle Edition. We are on page 336. The subheading is the recognition of holiness. Again, that's page 336 in the Sparkle Edition. In the original edition, we are on chapter 14, part 5, also called the recognition of holiness. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we are on chapter 14, part 9, and it's called The Reflection of Holiness. Again, Foundation for Inner Peace, chapter 14, part 9. Wonderful. Okay, so let's take the first paragraph. The recognition of holiness, or the reflection of holiness, depending on what book we're reading. The atonement does not make holy. You were created holy. It merely brings unholiness to holiness, or what you made to what you are. The bringing together of truth and illusion, of the ego to God, is the Holy Spirit's only function. Keep not your making from your Father, for hiding it has cost you knowledge of him and of yourselves. The knowledge is safe, but wherein is your safety apart from it? I'm just going to read that sentence again. The knowledge is safe, but wherein is your safety apart from it? The making of time to take the place of timelessness lay in the decision to be not as you were. Thus, truth was made past, and the present was dedicated to illusion. And the past, too, was changed and interposed between what always was and now. The past, which you remember, never was, and represents only the denial of what always was. So we'll pause there. Ah, this is a beautiful paragraph. The atonement is the undoing of fear in our own mind as we turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for, as we bring our perceptions to the Holy Spirit, we ask for the miracle instead, that shift in perception, which is returning of love with a capital L to our awareness. That's the atonement. It's the undoing of fear. It doesn't make holy. We're already holy. We are already holy safe, holy eternal, whole and pure joy. We've just chosen to forget that. And this is pretty clear here that we made time, so we've dreamt up this world of time to take the place of timelessness. So it was a decision to be not as we actually are. So this idea of a past, the past that we know of the past, is this is actually saying that past actually never was and only represents the denial of truth. So we're holding this idea of the past in our mind, which is another block to our awareness of the love that already is now, of truth that already is. right here, right now. So it's just a block. It can seem like a big block. This whole idea of a past can seem like, well, that's a huge idea to, you know, to undo. And yet again, this can all be undone in an instant. The moment we're ready to let it go.
Now, this is ongoing, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the sort of, this is done already. So it's already been done. It's already been undone. The moment we had that tiny mad idea of turning away from God, you know, this the Holy Spirit was placed in our mind. This was all done in, this was all undone in an instant. We haven't accepted that yet. And so the Course actually says elsewhere, you know, we are merely looking at that which has already gone by and is over. So it's like we're hanging on to this idea to sort of keep ourselves thinking that we are separate. So it's not ongoing in that it's done already, and we can wake up to it in an instant. And yet we experience it as, you know, a gentle ongoing process because the Holy Spirit will meet us where we're at, and those blocks will fall away as we're ready to let them go. So we experience it as ongoing, even though it's already done.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does make sense.
I like how the Course just, like, blows your brain sometimes with, like, you know, it's not ongoing because it's already done. Like, what?
You know, Corinne, it's so very hard to let go of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can feel like a big deal, and yet again, this is a gentle process. And so each time we choose for that miracle over, you know, the ego, each time we're willing to let our perception be shifted, we come a little step closer and a little step closer to allowing the past to be undone in our own minds. So it's not like we have to think of the whole past and like, oh, I have to let go of this all right now. It's actually, you know, a little bit as we're ready, it gently falls away.
Oh, that's really, really helpful. I know what I have been doing. I'll just share this because I'm really stuck in something in the past that I'm working on forgiveness, mm-hmm. and trying to just let that go. And what I find that's very useful is because I'm in the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the lessons, not the text yet.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while I'll read a portion of the text, but I'm doing the lessons. But what I find helpful is before I start my lesson each day, I go to the A Course in Miracles table of contents for the lessons, and I read the table of contents up to the lesson that I'm at.
Oh, I love that.
And I find that helps me because it helps reinforce all the back lessons.
That's a great idea. I love that.
So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah,
I had an experience with something that was I don't even remember what it was now. Something that was really bothering me earlier, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, you know, let me see what he's got to say about this in the book. And I before I opened The Course in Miracles, I requested some guidance and help in this situation. And I turned, and I think this applies to what we're talking about here now, because it is a past event that was really disturbing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened the book to take this from me and look upon it, mm-hmm. judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming. And I think it just goes right back to what I go into this amnesia thinking that I'm the one who has to do this stuff.
Right.
And no.
Right.
I'm not, and it was taken from me. I mean, I really have to think about what was it that was bothering me.
Yeah. I love that. That's when you know it's gone. So you don't even have to, you don't have to think of it to tell us. You can just
it's done.
Let it be gone. Yep, it's done. It's done. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. And that's how it works. It just kind of falls away when we're ready. It just falls away.
This is from that chapter about the obstacles to peace.
Uh-huh.
And I love it because it says the first obstacle to peace is your willingness to get rid of it.
Your desire to get rid of it, yep.
Yeah, your desire to get rid of it, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, it's really just allowing things to be exactly where they are.
Yes, they are.
And I found that the moment in my mind where I feel like, oh, you know, I should be doing something else, or I haven't figured it out, or I'm working on doing something. If I have to work at it, it means I still think on some level that I'm Deidre and that I have to figure it out. And my peace is gone then. It's just because if I'm working on figuring it out, I'm not using my holy self. I'm using the invented self. So.
Oh, well said. I so relate to that.
I didn't understand that whole concept that you guys are talking about until relatively recently. Because I think it was in one of these classes where I finally understood it because while I've been familiar with this stuff for a while, I would still get caught up in the, I want this thing to go away now kind of a thing, or why haven't you let it go yet, or whatever story I had going on at the time. And it was actually through these classes when someone talked about, like, hey, you know, just let it go, or, like, you can't do it by yourself, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. That's when it finally clicked.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to do it ourselves, we're just going to spin our wheels, you know, and tire ourselves out and maybe make a little progress, but it's way faster. We can't do it by ourselves. I mean, the ego has a closed thought system. It's a closed loop, and it's designed to keep us in it, to keep us from, you know, from looking back to the truth. And so we need something outside of it to help us out, which is our bridge, which is the Holy Spirit. So that's beautiful. Yep, we can't do it alone. Thank goodness.
He talks about amnesia in this particular chapter. I can't really, but that
the
seems to be
amnesia.
The problem because, you know, it's just remembering and forgetting and remembering and forgetting. But I think, Corinne, you talked about that last week, and it was just wonderful what you were saying because, I mean, the contrast really keeps, you know, the focus on this.
That's the Holy Spirit teaches through contrast. And it's the Course actually says, it refers to it as the great amnesia. So we have the great amnesia right now. And that's why we think that our lifetime is limited to, you know, what we can see, hear, and feel right now. And actually, I will just share, since before the call, Meg, you know, when you were asking that question about that woman sharing her experience, it would have been after our last call. I've been actually taking a meditation class, and in that class, I had a period of a good 20 to 30 minutes of no thoughts. Like, you know, I teach a lot of mindfulness, and it's about working with our busy mind rather than trying to push those thoughts away. It's more about, you know, being with them. And in this meditation, I had no thoughts. It was this open, just vastness. And I can't remember if it started before or after that. I probably should have written it down, but it really doesn't matter. I feel like I can get a little emotional saying this. I've had this palpable sense, like this actual knowing, this you know, when you know something, like you know that your pen is right next to you on your table. Like I've had this knowing that my life did not begin at Corinne's birth, and it's not going to end when I'm not Corinne anymore. It's just like this,
yeah,
like puppet,
wow,
that I'm playing right now. And can you imagine what it's like to know that? Like to actually, and again, this is all for all of us. We can, this is where the course is leading us, is
yeah,
to know that we are not these bodies, not these personalities, not these limited selves. And so it's been so funny because just like in, we've talked in past calls about Dr. Eben Alexander and his near-death experience. What was his book's name again? It was Proof of Heaven. He talked about how when he focused on God, or, you know, those higher realms, they came close to him when he was out of his, you know, out of his body. When he focused on the fear, he was brought into that. And I've been watching myself as I look toward, like, the small stuff. That's what you see. That becomes your, like, tunnel vision. When I look toward this feeling that I had that my life didn't start at my birth and it's not going to end when I'm no longer Corinne, when I look to that, that knowing comes back right away. It's really cool. It's really cool. And so thank you for letting me share it with you, because it is for all of us, because, you know, we're not doing this alone.
Right. It's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Corinne.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bringing that up, because honestly, before the call, because honestly, I don't even know if I would have thought to share that.
Well, it was meant for you to share. So it was meant for me to ask those questions, and then it was meant for you to share.
Beautiful. Let's. I think we've only read the first paragraph so far, right? I love it when we're halfway through the call and we've gotten through one paragraph. Okay, let's read the next paragraph. Bringing the ego to God is but to bring error to truth, where it stands corrected because it is the opposite of what it means, and is undone because the contradiction can no longer stand. How long can contradiction stand when its impossible nature is clearly revealed? What disappears in light is not attacked. It merely vanishes because it is not true. Different realities are meaningless, for reality must be one. It cannot change with time or mood or chance. Its changelessness is what makes it real. This cannot be undone. Undoing is for unreality, and this reality will do for you.
That is amazing.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
I feel like this is what we were even starting to talk about before the call. What disappears in light is not attacked, meaning it's this gentle falling away, this process of, and again, it's not necessarily a process because it's all done already, but we often experience it that way, that it just gently falls away because it's not true.
Mm.
And anything that changes isn't real. So it says it cannot change with time or mood or chance. Its changelessness is what makes it real. So think about that for a moment, that everything that changes is not real, is not
That's
the truth.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? And look out the window.
Every single thing I see changes.
Uh-huh. Every single thing, even the ground we're standing on, these plates
over
geological time are shifting and moving. And so the whole universe changes, and so it's not real. What a relief that this world is not our home. Isn't it?
Yeah.
When I finally understood after doing the coursework for a little while that the world wasn't created by God, it just changed everything for me. I felt safer.
Right?
Because I was like, oh, thank God.
Right?
Yeah.
I so resonate with that. How could, the Course says, how could a benign creator will this? Like, with all the crazy shit that happens in this world.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you that it's a relief that God didn't create this world because...
Not only that, what I used to say, and people used to look at me like I was crazy, I felt this is the height of total inhospitality. When things have to eat other things to live.
Yes.
That's murder. You have to kill something else to live. To me, that's just insanity.
Yep. I am so with you. Even plants. Yep. It is insanity. It is total insanity.
But yet we accept it, like the survival of the fittest. Oh, it's all natural. It's all good. No, it isn't.
Right. And these are all the beliefs that we can take to the Holy Spirit and ask to see differently. And so when we can touch that, we hold these beliefs that like, oh, you know, you have to eat to survive. When we can recognize first that is a belief and be willing to just look at that belief with spirit, that's what the Course means by hold on to nothing. Question everything. Take everything to the Holy Spirit. Don't, you know, assume that anything that we are holding in our mind of our own is true.
Mm. Beautiful.
Wow.
Next paragraph. Merely by being what it is, does truth release you from everything that it is not? The atonement is so gentle, you need but whisper to it, and all its power will rush to your assistance and support. You are not frail with God beside you. Yet without him, you are nothing. The atonement offers you God. The gift which you refused is held by him in you. His spirit holds it there for you. God has not left his altar, though his worshipers placed other gods upon it. The temple still is holy, for the presence that dwells within is holiness. Oh. Merely by being what it is, does truth release you from everything that it is not. There it is again. The atonement is so gentle. We need but whisper to it, and all its power will rush to our assistance and support.
That's complete freedom.
It is. It is complete freedom. You're absolutely right.
I think that's where it's, you know, to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit is so powerful. I think, in a sense, I just find, well, no matter what it is that is bothering me or is disturbing to me, if I take that step to just say, all right, I don't know what this means, you know, and work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what anything is for, and that's complete freedom. But I don't know. So again,
you are not frail with God beside you.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Smokes. Go ahead.
I was just going to still highlight after that, toward the latter part of the paragraph, the gift which we refused is held by him in you. So again, we chose to dream this dream, but we've not changed reality at all. God is unchanged. Reality is unchanged. God's not mad at us. We did nothing wrong. All we've done is, and God is still there, fully accessible for us. He didn't go anywhere. We've just placed other gods upon that altar that we are choosing to believe in. So we're choosing to believe in life and death. We're choosing to believe all these things, and those are the beliefs that we're simply asked to look at with the Holy Spirit when we're ready. So God is fully accessible to us. It goes back to that quote from the Course. I think we read it not too long ago. There are no hidden chambers in God's temple. So God is fully accessible to every single one of us if we want to go there.
Oh, that's good news.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, family. Hey.
Woo, that is good news.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So where are we reading from? Let me get my book out.
You have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, correct?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You will go to, it's chapter 14, part 9.
Okay.
And we are on the fourth paragraph. It might be page 291, but depending on which printed copy you have, it might be a different page number. We're starting with In the Temple.
Yep, I got it. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. In the temple, holiness waits quietly for the return of them that love it. The presence knows they will return to purity and to grace. The graciousness of God will take them gently in and cover all their sense of pain and loss with the immortal assurance of their Father's love. There, fear of death will be replaced with the joy of living. For God is life, and they abide in life. The presence of holiness lives in everything that lives. For holiness created life and leaves not what it created holy as itself. I love how it refers to the presence with a capital P. Sometimes there are little things that I'm like, I've never read that before, and I certainly have read it before, but I feel like I'm seeing it for the first time and I'm having one of those moments. The presence of holiness. So again, keeping in mind, it says holiness created life. Remembering that life as we know it is not our true life. So we chose, through believing in the ego, to sort of like steal some of life, some of, you know, eternity, and sort of twist it into this, you know, this universe of this dream that we are in right now. And it's our life in truth that was created by God. This life that we seem to experience now is fueled by that God energy. That's, you know, the animating force behind everything, but we've sort of twisted it off to experience this state of separation.
So we have sort of like a sub-reality.
Right, right, yes. Yeah, this isn't our true reality. This is a dream. I love how deep this goes.
which is an illusion, the sub-reality.
Mm-hmm.
is actually an illusion.
Yes, a very a seeming convincing one, but yes.
Mm.
Yep.
And what's so interesting about it is it's just handed down to us from society and parents and friends and peers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just buys into it.
Right, right. We don't stop to question it, but that's exactly what we've been doing as course students, is stopping and questioning it. Because we recognize, everybody's here because we recognized, you know, at some point, the futility of the world. Like, what? You come here, you stay for a little bit, and then you die? Like, what is up with that? It's not cool, so.
Yes.
No, I thought what you just said, I had a thought like that today because I was researching something. That I'm curious about, and they were talking about this particular, like, it was particularly in the area of relationships, right, and how we've really picked up a lot of stuff, basically from the world around us and society and stuff like that. And I don't know why, but at that moment, I thought, wait a second, so if we picked up all this stuff when it comes to relationships, we must have picked up everything we've ever believed ever.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It was a weird moment. So
that sounds like a show stop, like a moment that's like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those like mind blowing things, and I'm like, so, and I took it a little extreme. I'm like, so I believe this is a table because I've been told this is a table.
Right, right.
I went a little crazy with it, but I mean, it was just so like mind blowing to me because I was like, yes, this is so true, like. we've been taught to believe everything we believe in some way, shape, or form.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we only accepted those beliefs, though, because we were willing to. So that's also, too, the part where, you know, our responsibility in this, again, the course is, you know, kind of about extreme responsibility, that this didn't happen to us without our consent. So that part of us that was willing to take on these beliefs that were being taught, you know, we just have to, again, look at that, that there was part of us that wanted to experience this separation. And there's no guilt in that. You know, well, the ego will say that we're guilty for that, but there is no guilt. None whatsoever.
That's life-changing. That whole, because everyone's always told, I mean, this isn't a new concept that we've just been kind of taught what to believe, but the whole part about we chose to believe it, you know, like we had a part in it, a part of wanted to accept it, that's the part that's totally life-changing.
Yeah, yeah, because it's no longer about pointing the finger, you know, and blaming anything.
Yeah.
Anything outside. And, you know, the Course says, as blame is withdrawn from without, there's a strong tendency to harbor it within, meaning like, oh, I chose for this and, you know, oh, goodness. But that's also a mistake. That's just the ego taking the reins again to, like, you know, beat us over the heads where there's no guilt. There's no guilt.
But, you know, some of this is entertaining. It's why we continue with this. Because some of it entertains us.
In the world, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, right,
so,
right.
So we don't really have a kind of like a comparison. So we find some of it to be interesting. Even the bad things, we kind of like find them interesting.
Absolutely.
Have you noticed if someone calls you on the phone and starts telling you all the wonderful things that happens in their life, it's like, oh, that's wonderful. And then when they start telling you something, oh, this tragedy, then you went, oh, you get, like, really, you get somehow drawn into it.
Right.
So
right.
It's kind of like it's a lure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's
the world
ego.
Is actually a lure.
That's just the ego. That has really nothing to do with who we are in truth. I watch it all day, especially with the internet. Oh, I can get sucked in. And you know, the wonderful thing with working with this material is you no longer feel guilty about that, you know? There's an acceptance around it for me now that, because it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. Anything that's happened, this police officer who shot his wife, you know, I found myself kind of intrigued by this thing. But then when I started to feel the upset that always comes with it, you know, it's like, why would I do this? You know, and there's where the Holy Spirit really comes in, because it's like, oh, you don't have to do this, and God bless them, you know, and just a wonderful shift that takes place. But the ego loves to take a look at this stuff.
It's like a fly.
And
like,
I know,
you know,
I'm not thinking with God when I allow this to happen, you know, and I'm right back in the world, and I'm right back in the ego, but we're not stuck there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And again, that's that contrast that just makes me want to go back home so much faster,
right.
You know, and makes me want to know God so much and get closer and really live this stuff.
Ooh.
I think without the contrast, there's not the urgency. I don't know.
Right, right, right. No, that makes sense. When we experience the painful side, you know, and see that, like, hey, actually this doesn't make us happy, that shows us that actually we do want something different.
But, you know, even the joy we experience, turns it is like a bittersweetness in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where we really think about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I kind of had an experience at dinner Thursday night. It was just we were in this restaurant, and I was with friends that I've known for many years, and it was very, very loud. About 25 people came in, and it was unbearably loud. And I kind of got into, and I was hungry. It's not good when I'm hungry. And Al and I got into this, like, push-pull with this situation, like, should we go, should we stay? And I know I got really angry with him, and he got angry with me, and it just was unpleasant. And do you know that the minute I got out of that place, I had this urgency. You know, the ego wants to be right, but I had this urgency to get home and call him and just say, that was nuts. And I apologize, for he was so wonderful. His response was, don't you ever apologize to me. He said, you are my dear friend. It was the nicest. Talk about contrast.
Wow.
But that's what this Course in Miracles is all about, I think. You know? Because there was a time where I would just hold a grudge and I wouldn't apologize. I wouldn't care if he...
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I do.
I think it's amazing.
It is.
Well, what I love about the Course is it talks about grievances.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the big things. That's our, you know, that we are stuck in, our grievances.
Yeah, our little block.
And then it talks about the forgiveness is our function.
Mm-hmm. Yep, beautiful. Let's read the next paragraph and keep up with this theme. In this world, you can become a spotless mirror in which the holiness of your Creator shines forth from you to all around you. You can reflect heaven here. Yet no reflections of the images of other gods must dim the mirror that would hold God's reflection in it. Earth can reflect heaven or hell, God or the ego. You need but leave the mirror clean and clear of all the images of hidden darkness you have drawn upon it. God will shine upon it of himself. Only the clear reflection of himself can be perceived upon it. Reflections are seen in light. In darkness, they are obscure, and their meaning seems to lie only in shifting interpretations rather than in themselves. I'm just going to read the next paragraph because it's short. The reflection of God needs no interpretation. It is clear. Clean but the mirror and the message which shines forth from what the mirror holds out for everyone to see, no one can fail to understand. It is the message that the Holy Spirit is holding to the mirror that is in him. He recognizes it because he has been taught his need for it, but knows not where to look to find it. Let him then see it in you and share it with you. So in this world, you can become a spotless mirror. This is just like we can't, if we seek after those spiritual, you know, experiences, those peak experiences, whatever you want to call them, those, you know, experiences of oneness, if we're seeking after them, we're looking in the wrong place, because our task is to become that spotless mirror. Our task, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for himself. So all we have to be concerned about is undoing those blocks in our own mind and letting, you know, these beliefs be undone in our mind. And we're spraying that mirror with, you know, vinegar and water or Windex, whatever it is, making it really, really spotless. And then it says, where's that, that God just shows up. God will shine upon it of himself. So our only task is to be that spotless mirror. I love that. So we can be that spotless mirror here on earth and reflect heaven instead of hell.
You know, I was thinking, Colin.
Yes?
I was thinking, with Bruce spraying that mirror with love.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah, we're letting that love shine forth. Anybody else have anything coming up so far? Any questions coming up? Any insights? Any examples? I feel like this has been a really powerful section, as it always is. But, again, it's good stuff. Okay, next paragraph. Could you but realize for a single instant the power of healing that the reflection of God shining in you can bring to all the world, you could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean to receive the image of holiness that heals the world. The image of holiness which shines in your mind is not obscure and will not change. Its meaning to those who look upon it is not obscure, for everyone perceives it as the same. All bring their different problems to its healing light, but all their problems are met only with healing there. I love that. So that image of holiness will not change. That meaning, that love, again, with the capital L, that's there, is the same for all. And all of our different seeming problems that we have, we bring it to the same source and let those problems be undone, and that love shines forth.
And then again, it's emphasizing the changelessness.
Yeah.
And the changelessness is what is real.
Yep. Exactly. Beautiful. And I love that first sentence, too. Could you but realize for a single instant the power of healing that the reflection of God shining in you can bring to all the world? You could not wait to make the mirror of your mind clean. I, again, just go back to every time I see something horrific, you know, on the news, it's all about me working on allowing these blocks in my own mind to be undone. I go back to that prayer that you said, Paula, you opened to. That was another thing I wanted to say. When you ask for help and you open exactly, you know, to what you needed to hear, you get that exact answer. That prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Because me of myself will see it as a sign of sin and death and use it for destruction. So we're asking instead to be taught how to use it otherwise, how to let the Holy Spirit reinterpret it for us.
It is so powerful. It's just so incredibly powerful.
It is.
To realize, I mean, it's just such a relief.
Mm-hmm.
To realize we're not the ones who are doing this.
Right.
This is being done through us.
That's how I feel every time I sit down to do a session or do anything, really. It's just that because you start to really learn that you surrender any attachment that you have to anything in the world. Like, I have ideas, right? But if it's not in alignment with what God wants or my holy self wants, then I don't want it.
Yeah.
I love that, because you're no longer deciding, you know, what it is that you think you need. You're letting that come forth or show up, that we only want what is going to show up in behalf of our awakening.
Yeah, it reminds me of the part in the Course that says, I'm here to be helpful, wholly helpful. That's truly helpful. That's all it is. We're here to be instruments of love. That's it.
But the ego wants to get something out of all of it, you know? And that's sometimes where confusion can sort of come into it. But once again, the Holy Spirit really, when I turn to the Holy Spirit, that confusion is clarified, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. I love too, Paula, just what you brought up in my mind was that, you know, when we feel confused about something that we, even about the course, like that we don't understand or something that we read, that we can make it a practice of asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand it, rather than, you know, searching for it. I mean, we can, of course, search for an article online or, you know, listen to what another teacher says about it, but the real answer, the real understanding is going to come from within when we're asking the Holy Spirit to show us what that means.
And you know you're getting, it, again, I think our emotions are just wonderful in the sense that you know you're getting the clarity when you start to feel better. You know, whatever it is that's disturbing. And
that's
whenever
a good point. That's a very good point.
That's for me, is everything. If I'm in touch with, you know, I've got to be in touch with what I'm feeling and my emotional, you know, state of mind. And it's I get such tremendous relief, you know, when I ask for the clarity.
Yeah. You know, what's coming up at the moment, and I'll just throw out there because I'm curious if anybody else has any thoughts about this, is what you just said is I'm totally on board with what you said, Paula, about, you know, our feelings being the you know, indicator. And yet, the ego has all sorts of feelings. You know, this personality that I have has all sorts of feelings. For me, and I'll just share maybe my experience and tell me if this makes sense or if anybody else has a similar thought, that when we're using our feelings as a judge of, like, you know, if the pieces come back, it's deeper than, like, the surface-level feelings. Like, you know, Corinne's ego being happy is different from a deep sense of joy that's
absolutely
just, like, resonant in my core.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I think what it is peace comes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what it is. And then there's a shift. And when peace comes, what comes is relaxation for the body.
Yep.
The body just releases all of its tension and just abides in this peace. It's not a worldly peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling of well-being.
Yeah.
And connection. It really, for me.
Yeah,
well-being
and I think,
connection, I like that.
Yeah, I think if it's ego happy, it's also fleeting. It doesn't last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like anything can throw it off. Like and
yeah.
Maybe
absolutely.
Maybe it's more attached. That's what's coming to mind to me. Like
mm-hmm.
if this happens, then I'm gonna be happy, and then it happens and I'm happy, and then it doesn't last, it didn't feel as good as I thought it was gonna feel, or something. You know, like I had that experience recently where I made a lot of investments in my business in the first quarter, and I was dying to pay it off, right? Like, I was so desperate to just pay it off. And I did, right? And I paid everything off thinking it was, you know, I was going to feel so relaxed and so at ease. And I remember paying it, and then afterward I was like, I feel the same. Like, I don't feel any different. Like, and that was kind of like this weird moment for me because I realized, oh, okay, well, I mean, yes, to a certain level I feel better, but I don't feel as good as I thought I was going to feel, you know? And then I realized it's like, oh, it's because your ego wanted this.
do you know what's strange? It's like the peace has no cause.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
It has no
nothing
cause.
Hinges on it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just.
It just is.
Yeah.
It just is. And you don't have to do anything different or be
mm-hmm.
any different or please
mm-hmm.
anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
it doesn't have any conditions.
No conditions.
Oh, so that was just beautiful. everything that you guys just said. Thank you so much. Amanda, I love what you added, and yeah, the peace just has no cause. That was awesome. Ah, awesome, awesome. Let's read the last paragraph. The response of holiness to any form of error is always the same. There is no contradiction in what holiness calls forth. Its one response is healing, without regard for what is brought to it. Those who have learned to offer only healing because of the reflection of holiness in them are ready at last for heaven. There, holiness is not a reflection, but rather the actual condition of what was but reflected to them there. God is no image, and his creations as part of him hold him in them in truth. They do not merely reflect truth, for they are truth.
Oh.
So this again just reminds me of what we were talking about before we started recording the call with, you know, deeply spiritual experiences, and one of the things that I was saying was that, you know, that we're just scratching the surface. So those are, you know, maybe clear reflections of the truth, but, it, you know, like this says here, God is no image. God is not a reflection.
Mm. Yeah, that when Corinne, when you mentioned that experience that you had when you felt like you had, like, I think you said 30 minutes of no thought. What came to mind for me was that, you know, that's what can occur in meditation, but also we already are that. We've just
yes.
forgotten. So it's not like we have to meditate or do all these things to achieve stillness. We already are still.
Exactly.
It's just that we've forgotten that we end up our natural state.
Exactly. Beautiful. Thank you for adding that. You're 100%. That I'm. I really resonate with that. It might come through meditation. It might come being in the midst of craziness. It doesn't matter. We don't have to, just like you said, we don't have to do anything to make it happen.
Right.
It just is.
I swear to God, I've been in situations where I've been, like, totally stressed out and chaotic, and there's stuff going on around me. And I'll literally stop, and I'll say, God, I need the peace of God. I need it right now. And that's enough.
Oh.
And,
yeah, that is enough.
And the only difference is that people believe that they're not capable of achieving that, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only block is our belief in whether or not we can achieve that.
Yep.
The world really does not teach. It teaches the total opposite of that. So you, for me, you know, I have to constantly go back to this book. I have to constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. To maintain that, you know, to. But, oh, my God, it is so worth it. I'm telling you, I was so worked up the other day, and to open this book and get direct communication mm-hmm. and feel fabulous instantly and go on about my business.
Well, I love it.
It's just so worth it. And it's really building that mental muscle with this material, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the Holy Spirit. Because honestly, on our own, in this world, I don't know how anybody does it. I really don't.
Yeah,
it's so subtle, because I was just thinking about the two examples I gave on this call in terms of, like, experiences that I've had recently. And when I was thinking, I was like, wait a second, I recently did lessons in the workbook that are related to this. And I may not have gotten it that day, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I got it way later in some random thing, and then I was able to make the connection.
Awesome.
That's because it's already done.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. Ah, wow.
Thanks. I I just wanted to say something really quickly, as usual, on the late shift.
hoping
I don't get cut off.
We love you, Carla.
Oh, thank you. I love y'all too. Let me be who I think I am, and then you witness back to me who I really am. And I thank y'all for your patience. I was going to say today's Father's Day. It was a hot day. I wanted to go to the beach, but I decided to go with my dad to be with that side of the family. They have like an annual barbecue, and I went today, and I remember feeling very kind of tense earlier today because working every day, I'm always on the schedule, and I always feel like I'm just like rushing from one place to another, or one activity, that anxiety, that stress that probably a lot of people feel. And so as I was driving to the house, I got there a couple of hours later because I just didn't want to. I wanted to exercise and do some things for me, and I kind of did that, stayed in the house, and then did my exercise at a local track. So I noticed that as I was driving, I could feel my anxiety level. And something quietly said to me, like, what if you just accepted that you don't feel good right now? You know, it would be okay. And in that instant, I did feel some sense of relaxation. I don't know I don't know who it was, but for the most part, well, I guess if it made me feel good, it was the Holy Spirit. If I felt like crap, it probably was the ego. That's what the book says. So, the Holy Spirit. And so I kind of just let myself feel that. And I think it's lesson 95, towards the end of the lesson, there's a paragraph with a sentence in there that talks about, if I have tolerance for my weakness, then I don't give it strength to grow. And I thought about that. And it's the truth. If I have tolerance for the times that my ego is acting up, then it doesn't become a block. If I don't feed those habits, then they don't grow. You know, there's nothing to nourish them. And so I thought about that because Earl Purdy said something to that effect on one of his videos, and it stuck with me. And I even wrote it down as I was listening to it, and I look at it now every day in my office. And that's a great reminder. If I can just have some tolerance that I'm not going to feel good on the way to feeling good all the time, and just kind of let it, I guess, blow through. I have this image of, like, who I am for real, deep on the inside, and who I think I am. And there's about 3-4 inches of space, air, between the two of them. And so the crap just seems to blow through, while the part of me that knows the truth about myself is just sitting there just quietly watching all the crap just whirl around, et cetera. And it's almost like shaking his head, like, look at that. Look. She done gave herself this. She done did this to herself now. But poor thing. Somebody just give her a cookie, you know. And the cookie could be, you know, the next relationship, the car, the ice cream cone, whatever it is that I think that's outside me that's going to make me feel better. So anyway, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in about trying to have some tolerance, working on allowing myself to have some tolerance for when I don't feel good. And there was no reason for me not to feel good, no good reason in the world of form, it would seem, for me not to feel good, but because my ego was so...
Are you there?
Oh, no. Did you get cut off?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
What happened?
She got cut off.
Hang up.
She dropped.
Oh, dear.
She got dropped. This happened another time. She just said, hopefully I don't get dropped.
She cut herself off.
So helpful.
Carla, are you back?
What she was saying was so helpful.
Are you there, Carla?
Yeah, I got kicked off. But yeah, but because I'm so used to crap, my ego is just always up to whatever it does, and it's doing it at such an unconscious level that I really have to have some compassion for myself. Like, it's like looking at somebody else and looking at them go through their what seems like their craziness, and just kind of like tolerating, knowing that they have some quote-unquote diagnosis, and kind of just tolerating and sending them some love. And it's like, I need to do that for my crazy ass.
Yeah.
You know, but the stuff that just keeps going through my mind is, you know, my peace, it seems to escape me. It's like, this is really crazy. Like, I am, the part of me that does not want any of this is like bent on keeping me distracted with all the pieces of insanity, all of the pieces. And I keep having to remind myself I have one problem and one solution. So I guess when you were talking about, you keep going back to that book. Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't have enough going to not go to my source, go to my path for peace, because I attack myself so often. So, and I appreciate that there is something for me. You know, there is something out there that loves me more than I love myself, and is still extending love and a helping hand to me. So we're not alone. I love y'all. Now, thank y'all. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
I love you. Thank you so much, Carla. And just to highlight what you said about that kindness toward yourself, you're absolutely right. When we're not beating ourselves up for feeling a certain way, you know, when we're beating ourselves up, that's the ego, just, you know, it's just fueling fire to the ego. We can just say, oh, this is what's happening, you know, right now, and not fuel that. Just be kind to ourselves and let ourselves be where we're at. Then beautiful.
What helps us do that? What you read, Corinne. Reflecting, being the mirror, reflecting the image of God.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Awesome. Love you all. Thank you all so much for such a powerful call. And we will resume next week. And I think, Deidre, are you covering next week?
I am, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Deidre is going to be covering the call for me next week. And while I'm off, we had tickets to go see... I am a Princess Bride fan, the movie.
I love that movie.
That I've watched like 1,000 times, and we're spending an evening with
That movie too.
Cary Elwes, I think is how you say his last name, the actor who's Wesley in the film. We're going to be spending the evening with him as he sort of, you know, talks through the movie and shares about his book. And it was supposed to happen in May, but the whole thing got rescheduled till next weekend. So that's
awesome.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Thank you, Deidre, for covering next week. Nice. I love you all, and we'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B